All right, well, good evening. This is our message for Wednesday night. I'm recording on Tuesday morning. And last week we talked about Jesus, the living stone, who made us into living stones, to build us up into a spiritual house for the purpose of forming a holy priesthood and offering spiritual sacrifices. So let's go ahead and read the passage, and then what I want to concentrate on is just the very last phrase of our text from last week. So I'm going to begin in verse 1. Therefore, putting aside, 1 Peter chapter 2, I should say. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk about spiritual sacrifices. What are they and how do we do them? And Peter doesn't specify. He doesn't give us anything in our passage to tell us what these things are. His theme here in this section, and as we're going to go down through to verse 10 or 11 or so, he's talking about the living stone, about the Lord Jesus Christ and his place and role in our salvation and all of that. And if this is one of the reasons that the Lord turns us into living stones, all right, to make us into a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices, then what is it? Does the Bible give us any other information on this? One of our commentators, Tom Schreiner, says this: we should not limit the sacrifices here to any one item, for everything that is pleasing to God is probably included. So he doesn't go into much detail. He does give us the reference of Romans 12 and Hebrews 13, which we're going to be looking at in this message tonight. But another commentator gives us more, and that is Edmund Hebert. He says, the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament priest are, number one, the living sacrifice of his body offered to God for service, Romans 12, 1 and 2, his praise, Hebrews 13, 15, his voluntary acts of self-dedication, Philippians 2, 17 and Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, his good deeds, Hebrews 13, 16, and his material possessions used for God's service and transmuted by the Spirit into worthy sacrifices, Philippians 4, 18 and Hebrews 13, 16. Well, that's Edmund Hebert, as I mentioned, and he gives us our outline for tonight's message. So we're going to follow those 5 points. I have a proposition for the message. It says this: the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament calls us, the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament calls us to perform encompass all aspects of the Christian life. Right? The spiritual sacrifices the New Testament calls us to perform encompass all aspects of the Christian life. So this is essentially a topical message launching on that phrase at the end of our text, which says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There are several other passages that use similar language throughout the New Testament. The first one I'm going to call your attention to is Romans 12:1. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says this: therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now the basis for the sacrifice in this verse is the mercies of God. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. By that he means the whole doctrine of salvation. Or you could say it in another way, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. And so he's making a transition in chapter 12 and verse 1, and he's moving from doctrine to application. And the application is then to to offer, the first thing is to offer your body, yourself, as a living sacrifice. Now, the key here is it is living. It's your life. It's not that God, there's in the Old Testament, God called for bloody sacrifices. Those were rather terminal. Well, this isn't terminal. This is, of course, living. But notice also this, a living and holy sacrifice. So in offering this sacrifice, it is giving your life to holiness, giving your life to God's life, to the way God would live. And so this gains God's acceptance as true worship. So the idea is that as we logically follow from our salvation, we give ourselves to God, sacrifice our lives to God, and obey Him in everything in that dedication of ourselves. All right, so that's Romans 12. The second one is found in Hebrews 13:15. Offer your voice in continuous praise. So Hebrews 13:15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Now I'm actually going to turn back just a few pages in my Bible. I'm still open at 1 Peter. I'm going to go to Hebrews 13 because the basis of offering your voice is, in fact, the Lord Jesus who offered Himself for you. And if you look back in that passage, I've referenced to verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered outside the gate. So then, let us go to Him, go out to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here, in this world, we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking a city which is to come. Through Him then, now that comes to our verse, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So the basis of this offering is what He's done for us. The Lord Jesus who suffered scorn for us, the idea of being outside the camp, it does mean that we're going outside of our world. In a sense, we are being set apart. That's part of what being holy means. And we are not what we would have been. We're not a part of the world that we would have been in our normal course of life. And notice the description in the verse here. He says, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, so he wants to define what this means, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And of course, our words should be praised. And I brought in to our notes here, Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And we all know about the language of the people around us and the conversation of the world. And it isn't always edifying. It isn't always that which would build up. And the Christian, really, in giving praise to God with his lips, offering up a sacrifice of praise, ought to discipline his speech and keep out of it those things which do not edify. And even when we're in conversation with the world, these are certainly things that we can make a mark and a distinction and just simply walk in a different path. The world is full of darkness. We want to give them light. And even by the words of our mouth, it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to talk about the Lord all the time, but we certainly would talk about Him at some times. But the point is that we discipline our speech, guide our speech, so that it is always to the praise of God in its manner and in its words and in its contents in one way or another. All right, and then it also, I put in the notes, it surely means to sing. Ephesians 5:18-19 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And so we sing. The Christian church is a singing church. And it is something that should be a part of our worship. I think there have been times in church history where singing has been minimized. The Puritans, in reacting to Catholicism, went so far as to take the music right out of their church because They thought it was a part of Catholicism. Well, I don't think it is. I think that early on, the Lord Jesus and his disciples sang hymns. They sang a hymn in the upper room and went out into the night. And the church has followed that example. We talk, and here we have an instruction to sing. And it shouldn't simply be those who are skilled that sing, or those who have a great ability. As you know, that would leave me out. But we should sing. And I've always believed that as believers, one of the things that happens because we've been born again is that we have a desire to sing praise to God. And thinking about singing and bad singing, my mother, I inherit my bad voice from my mother, I have to say. My mother just couldn't carry a tune very well. But, you know, she loves to sing. And even now in her old age, and she is forgetting so many things, she will remember the hymns. One of the hymns we sang on Sunday, the one that we had on the projection, was actually suggested by my mother while Maureen was picking the hymns out for our services up in Courtney last week. And my mother said, "What about this one?" Well, it wasn't in our hymnal, but it's a song that she knows and loves, and blessed our hearts as we sang it. Just sing. When you're in church, your whole heart should be given into the worship of God. And you know, I also recall a fellow. I should not be taking so much time on this point, but. I recall a fellow when I was in graduate school, great big guy, and he couldn't sing worth anything, but he was loud, and it used to annoy people. He'd sing in chapel, he'd stand up, we'd have stand to sing, he'd stand up and sing, and his voice, throw his head back and just sing. You could hear him all over the whole balcony. We sat in a 5,000 seat auditorium. You could hear him from one end of the balcony to the other. And he put his heart into it. And, I think you should. You should sing and give praise to God. Offer the sacrifice of praise. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Philippians 2:17 and Ephesians 5:1 and 2. Philippians, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all." And then Ephesians 5. "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as God also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So the idea here, offer yourself in service to others. The first one, if Philippians, refers to the drink offering, pouring out your life as a drink offering. In the Old Testament, when they offered a drink offering, they would take a beverage and they would pour it all out on the altar. There's a story when David desired water from the well of Bethlehem. One of his men fought through the enemy lines, drew some water, fought his way back, and brought it to David. And David offered it up as a drink offering to the Lord, poured the whole thing out because of the great sacrifice and valor of his soldier. It's kind of a funny story in the Old Testament, but this pictures what our life ought to be, the whole thing given over to God, entirely dedicated to God. And in our context here, Paul is talking about living out the life in a perverse generation. So even if it means pouring out one's life to serve others, so be it. And then with that, walking in love is a spiritual sacrifice in imitation of Jesus. It's well-pleasing to God. It's described as a fragrant aroma to God. So a spiritual sacrifice is giving yourself in service to others. In other words, you pour out your life in order to be a blessing and to be a help to other people. That's a spiritual sacrifice. The fourth one, Hebrews 13:16. We're just in Hebrews 13. This is the next verse. He says, and earlier what we had been talking about was giving your voice. Here it says, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such things, sacrifices, God is pleased." So I put as the note or the point here, offer your actions for the benefit of others. The verb is, do not neglect. Do not neglect. What are we not to neglect? Well, the good deed, All right? Do not neglect the good deed. All right? Doing good is how it's translated here. But and then the second word is very interesting. It says, and sharing here. The Greek word is koinonia. It's one that you probably know. You've heard it before, anyway. And sharing is how it's translated. But it's more than just giving things. Koinonia is a very special word. It's a word that's a big word in 1 John. It has to do with having things in common. It's often translated fellowship. But it's more intimate than just a mere personal interaction in a friendship. It is a warm-hearted partnership. You are joint workers together when you are in koinonia with someone. You are a partner, all right? So in giving things, which is a kind of fellowship, it involves a communication of the heart from life to life. So Paul, and we're going to actually look in the next one, Paul's going to be thanking the Philippians for their gift of money to him, all right? And that's called a fellowship in Philippians. It's the same word. It's a joining together. They gave it because they wanted to partner with Paul in his ministry. And so sharing the good things, sharing good works, doing good work and sharing is a communication together of those things that are necessary to sustain life, to carry on the service for God. So offer your actions for the benefit of others. The King James translates this, to communicate. Good works and communication, to communicate. All right? The last one is Philippians 4:18, as I mentioned. Offer your goods as a fragrant aroma to God. And here we are talking about giving. Philippians 4:18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. He's talking about this offering they sent. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So what he's saying here is he's the recipient of this gift, and this gift of money, that's what it was, is a spiritual sacrifice. It is an acceptable, is something that is acceptable to God. And when he says a fragrant aroma, you remember we were talking about, I forget which message on Sunday, but I mentioned the offerings in the temple. It might have been the first message in the morning. And how they would offer the animal on the altar. It would be being burned up. And the aroma, you think about what it smells like when you're barbecuing an animal on your own barbecue. Well, this aroma ascends up into heaven. The smoke of the altar ascends up into heaven. And it is called a sweet savor and a fragrant aroma. It pleases God's nostrils to give an anthropomorphism. So when you are committed to a life where your whole life is dedicated to God, where you are singing and speaking praises to God, where you are giving yourself in service to others, when you are doing good works and sharing, when you are offering your goods, you're offering your offerings, this is well-pleasing to God. Now, last week in our message, I used a metaphor of the three-dimensional spiritual life. And I meant in that a relationship with God and with others and with the whole body through various connections, upwards and downwards in time, connected to one another by strong spiritual ties. So we have that relationship with God. That's one dimension. We have the relationship horizontally with other people. We also have all kinds of ties interconnected with a brother over here, a brother over there. We're standing on the foundation of teaching taught by a brother of the past. We have an obligation to brothers of the future who are teaching and leading and guiding. And we have all these interconnections. That's the three-dimensional spiritual life. But the way that it is lived is through these spiritual sacrifices, through these making our whole life, everything we do, a part of our serving of God. So as we live out this life, offering these sacrifices, our bodies, our voices, our hearts, our deeds, our cash even, when we offer these, we please God and we live the three-dimensional spiritual life. I just thought that little outline given by Hebert was so interesting and helpful to think about what it is that Peter's talking about. We're talking about having been made alive in Christ and having this being built together into this building, this edifice, this structure that belongs to God. But the way it's built, it's not by brick and mortar. It's not a physical building. It's a spiritual building, and it's built by performing spiritual sacrifices. And those ties are increased, and those bonds of love between brethren is extended, and the church grows. That's just how it works. The three-dimensional spiritual life by spiritual sacrifices. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. We'll be finished for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray for your blessing on us now as we think about these things and what you have taught us. We pray that it might stir us up to greater service for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.